Okay, today we are going to cover normalization. But before I start any discussion on the chapter, I want to review one or two concepts. The first thing I want to talk about is the concept of determination. You remember we discussed that? Determination, who could tell me what that was about? People say, no, I don't remember that. I sure do. Determination. Who could help me out here? What is it? Well, tell me, what do you know about it? Okay, the answer is that if you know the value of one attribute, that attribute should be able to determine the other attributes in the table. Okay? Anything else do we know? What's the formal definition? You're absolutely right, by the way. But what was the formal definition that the book gave you? We had seen it. It says, if A determines B, then B is a determinant of A. Remember that? Okay. And remember when we first discussed that, I said to you, this is going to become extremely important when we come to chapter 5. And now we're in chapter 5. So, one step further. What is A? That's too easy, man. A is the primary key. And what's B? The non-key attributes. So what we're saying here is that if we have a primary key, the primary key should determine all of the other non-key attributes in the table. That's the concept of a determinant. So that's going to be really important for the entire discussion tonight. Now, let's take the review one step further. In chapter 1, what it is we really learned in chapter 1? What was the whole purpose of chapter 1? Yes?
To describe the advantage of a database management system.
To what?
To describe
the advantages of a DBMS?
Yeah, compared to the older ways of storing data.
Okay, is that, you think, the gist in chapter 1? That's what you got from it, in terms of what's important in chapter 1? Who else got something else from chapter 1? Go ahead. Okay. Okay. That is chapter 1, actually. Chapter 1, what we learned in chapter 1 is to be able to recognize the types of problems that arise in a table. And pretty much the problems, the source of the problems, is really uncontrolled data redundancy, which led to some anomalies, 1, 2, 3 anomalies, which in turn usually leads to inconsistent data. And that is what your first homework was about, right? We gave you a table, and we wanted to find out if you could recognize these problems in the table. Because these are the problems that are going to haunt you in your sleep when you create a database that is poorly designed. So that is why it's important that you could recognize these things. Because if you can't recognize them, then you probably can't fix them. That's the point. Okay? So that's why we spent all this time on chapter 1. So this is what chapter 1 is really about. Okay. Moving forward. Chapter 3. I think it was chapter 3 or chapter 4. There was one, which chapter was that? Was ERD, Entity Relationship Diagram. What chapter was that, 3 or 4? 3? Could somebody check for me?
Chapter just ERD?
Yeah. Entity relationship diagramming. Might be four. That was last week. All you got to look is the table of contents. Chapter 4, okay. So chapter 4, we look at ERD. So in terms of what's really important here, I'm not saying the other stuff is not important, because in chapter 3, we talk about relational theory, what's the key, and those things are important. But the point I want to make is that chapter 1 helps to identify what are the issues with tables. Chapter 3 allows to create these ERDs, which are going to be extremely useful. And now in chapter 5, we now look at normalization. So that's our discussion for today, normalization. Now you also realize the homework in chapter 1, it didn't ask you to find solutions. Because you're not at that point back in chapter 1 where you have solutions. If you had solutions in chapter 1, then you don't need to take the course. Does it make sense? Okay. So the solutions to your problem are going to be mostly addressed in this chapter. Point I'm trying to make then is that this chapter is an extremely important chapter. Okay? So here we go. First of all, we want a definition of normalization. So normalization is the process of evaluating a table structure to minimize data redundancy, uncontrolled data redundancy, and the likelihood of anomalies. It is the process of assigning attributes to tables based on the concept of determination. It works through a process, not a process, works through a series of stages called normal forms. So it's a process or a series of steps that we take in order to refine the table to the point where it has none of these problems discussed in chapter 1. That's really what this is about. There are several types of normal form or normal forms. You got first normal form, usually written with 1NF. You got second normal form, usually written as 2NF. Third normal form. Then we have Boyce-Codd. Codd is like the godfather of database. And there's some other guy whose name was Boyce. And the two of them together created this normal form called Boyce-Codd. Then the other one is fourth. For our class, we're going to emphasize first, second, and third, because most business applications would require you to know first, second, and third. You probably would die before you find a situation in business where you need Boyce-Codd or Fort. So I'll mention them and explain them to you, but my emphasis is going to be first through third normal form. The higher the normal form, the more tables you have, which leads to more join between tables. Do you know what a join is? Anyone know what a join is? Let me explain what a join is. When you create a report, some report require data that comes from multiple tables. In order to get information from multiple tables, you first have to join the tables together. And once they are joined, you could then proceed to extract the information you need. So the bringing together of two tables is called a join, and there are different types of join. You'll see that in another chapter. Okay. Now, the more joins that you have, the more processing is required, which sometimes lead to decreased performance. So what I'm really saying here is that as you go through this process of normalization, your design in theory gets better. But that results in more tables, which creates an overhead, and as a result, sometimes decreased performance. So the point I'm trying to make here is that while normalization is good, sometimes it has a negative effect because it slows down the database because there's so many tables that may be needed to be joined in order to create a particular report or perform a particular transaction. So we'll talk about that later on. Now, when that happens, when the performance starts to decrease, sometimes what we do is we undertake a process called denormalization. So to increase performance, denormalization may be required. It is the process of reducing the level of normal form for the sole purpose of increasing performance. So denormalization is the opposite of normalization. Now in the book, they gave you a table, figure 5.1. What page is that? Figure 5.1. 150. Okay. You realize that figure kind of resembles the one we had earlier, right? It's poorly designed. And you got lots of uncontrolled data redundancy, which eventually leads to anomalies, which leads to inconsistent data. All these things are in here. Okay? So what we want to do now then is we actually want to talk about the normalization process. So normalization process. The objective. The objective of the normalization process is to create tables that represent a single entity. So the table has no data that pertains or belongs to another table. Now, we are not talking about the foreign key. That's a separate issue. That's a whole different ballgame. Okay? Another objective is that no data will be unnecessarily stored in more and one table. So no data should be unnecessarily stored in more than one table. The idea is that the data should be in one place. Another part of the objective, another objective is that all attributes in the table are dependent on the entire primary key, and nothing but the key, nothing but the primary key. Back to the concept again of determinant. Okay, what we want to look at now are the definitions of normal form. So the first definition is going to be first normal form. So we always start at the first, move to second, then move to third. So this is the definition of first normal form. The definition is that a table should not have any repeating group or groups. A table should not have any repeating groups. If they exist, that is, if the repeating groups exist, they must be removed or eliminated. What we're saying here is that if you look at a table and you identify that the table has what is known as a repeating group, then that table violates first normal form. For it to be in conformance to first normal form, you would have to remove the repeating group. Which means then that you have to be able to identify what a repeating group is. So my next explanation is to try to explain what a repeating group is.
That's my question.
I figure. Okay. So the question becomes, what is a repeating group? A repeating group is a set of attributes that repeat for a given entity instance. Example, if you look at figure 5.1, you would see that the employee number, employee name, the job class, the charge per hour, and the hours repeat themselves for each project. So let's take a look at that in the text. Figure 5.1, page 150. We have project number 15, right? The name of it is Evergreen. But starting at the employee number, you realize that those values, those set of attributes actually repeat themselves. So what we're really saying here is that every time for a given project, I always have to add a row to capture the employee number, employee name, the job class, charge per hour, and the hours for each project. So every time somebody works, I have to go and add another row for that particular project. So those set of attributes, employee number right through to the hours, is what is known as a repeating group. So anytime you see a table looks like this, you know you have a repeating group. Got a frown on your face over here. But you realize, for example, take Alice K. Johnson. I keep having to add her name, her job class, and her employee number every time. You think that's a good use of my time? No. So that is the problem. It's poorly designed, and those set of attributes have to be added every time for each project. But if it was well designed, That information would be in there once. All I would be doing is adding the hours worked, for example. Okay. But the important thing is to recognize the repeating group. So when you see it, you know it's a repeating group. And once you see the repeating group, you actually know that it has violated first normal form. Any questions on that? Okay. What we're going to have to do now is to figure out how do we get rid of it. So to eliminate a repeating group, all you have to do is to eliminate the nulls by making sure that each row has an entry in all of the column. So just by filling in for project number 15, I keep filling in 15 in the first column. I keep filling in evergreen in the second column. That eliminates the nulls. The table by nowhere is perfect. It's far from perfect. But at least I have eliminated the repeating groups. And the fact that I have eliminated the repeating groups makes it a table that is in first normal form. So it's very simple. So if you look at figure 5.2, which is on page 153, 153 is no longer in violation of first normal form. All the data is filled in. It's still a poorly structured table, but it doesn't violate it anymore because we have removed the repeating groups. Any questions so far? Okay. All right. What we want to do now then, we want to take a look at the definition of second normal form. So first normal form is not so bad. Fill in the nulls and you're good to go. So second NF, which is second normal form, the definition is that a table must be in first. That's the first thing. And it has no partial dependency. I actually discussed this with you before and told you we're going to be revisiting it again when we get here. And so I figure most of you probably have forgotten. So what I want to do now is describe what is a partial dependency. A partial dependency right here, exists when each non-key attribute is dependent on the entire primary key and nothing but the key. That is the primary key. Nothing but the entire primary key. Therefore, a non-key attribute cannot depend on only part of the primary key. This means that you must first be able to identify the primary key for the table. If a table has a partial dependency, it violates second normal form. This violation must be removed. Before I go any further, let's say we could get an example. We have student ID, we have class ID, comma, we have grade, comma, we have student last name. Let's suppose that we created this table. The primary key is what? Student ID, class ID. How do you know? Because they're on the line. So that's what I'm going to expect when you give me a schema. Right? Primary key has to be on the line. OK. So what is my A? My A is, this is my A, which is the same thing as saying this is my primary key. And my A is supposed to determine all my B's. But it clearly says that the B should be dependent on all of A, not part of A. So is grade dependent on all of A? Absolutely, yes. Because I can't find a grade just by your number. If I take a student number, I can't find a single grade. I'm going to find all your grades, but I'm not interested in all your grades. I'm interested in one grade for one class. However, in order to find your last name, do I need the student ID and the class ID? No. What do I need? I need only the student ID. So my B here, this B, is dependent on what? Is dependent on student ID, which happens to be part of the key. So this B does not depend on all of the key, but only part of the key. Hence, we have a partial dependency. Make sense? So when you're looking for second normal form, that's what you're looking for. You're saying, given this B, does this B, which is my determinant, does this B depend on the entire key? If the answer is yes, then it satisfies first normal form. If the answer is no, then it violates. How do you know when it's not in conformance? Because any B in the table depends only on part of A, only on part of the key, then it is in violation of second normal form. Okay? Yes. Yes. Remember we talked about full functional dependency? Well, that's full functional dependency.
I just thought you were defining
Where are you at? So the partial dependency exists when a non-Q attribute is not dependent on the entire primary key. It exists when a non-key attribute is dependent on part of the key. So what I'm really trying to say here is that a partial dependency exists when a non-key attribute is dependent on only part of the key, of the entire key. So,
I know exactly what you're trying to say.
Okay.
I was confused for a second.
Okay. Yeah, so a partial dependency when the non-key attribute is dependent on only part of the entire key. So what I really wanted to say is that full functional dependency exists when all of the attributes is dependent on the entire key and not part of the key. So you're absolutely right. I didn't quite put that the way. Is that clear what I'm trying to say here? Is that clear? I don't want to confuse you. I didn't quite express it very well. So let me rewrite that for you. Partial dependency exists when a non-key attribute is dependent on only part of the primary key. When a partial exists, then you're in violation. So get rid of this and stick with that one over there. OK? OK, let's continue. So how do we clean up the violation? How do we remove the partial dependency? What we really want, actually, is full functional dependency. That is what we really want, right? Okay. But in order to have full functional dependency, you must be able to recognize a partial dependency and know what it means. So in second normal form, we are really striving for full functional dependence. So when we recognize a partial dependency, the question then becomes, what do we do? So how do we get rid of the partial? Well, those non-key attributes that depend on only part of the key must be removed and placed in their own table along with the P key attribute that was part of the violation. Now, the original P key still remains in the original table. So in this case here, we look at the table and we say, okay, this is a partial, therefore it violates second normal form. So how am I going to get it in conformance? Well, I'm going to take out the non-primary key, the non-key attribute, so to speak, along with the primary key that is part of the violation, and put it in its own table. So what I'll have is I'll have a student table where I'll have student ID, comma, last name. And right away you could see that this is really the student table. So obviously, from a practical point of view, we'll probably end up having more fields here to complete the student table, right? And then in this table here, well, that is gone. But as we said earlier, that this still remains in here because it needs to be in here. Okay? So the result is that we now have this table, and we now have another table which represents the student. So as we move from first normal form to second, the number of tables increase. And the same thing happens when we move from third to fourth. Now, what this says to us, this suggests is that it means that second normal form only has relevance when a composite, as the Britishers say, when a composite key, primary key, exists. You know what a composite primary key is, right? You're looking at one over there, right? So here's the deal then. If I have a table, that table has a single key attribute, which means the primary key is made up of one attribute, and the table is in first normal form, do I need to consider second normal form violation for that table? Some people saying, shaking their head, say no. Why not? Somebody explain. Volunteers.
You just wrote it on the board.
Well, tell me again.
You only need to use the second normal form if you're working with a composite key. And then that composite key, if one of the non-key attributes is partially dependent on the key, then it needs to be removed. Other than that, you don't need to be using that for one key attribute tables.
Right. If you have a one-key attribute, there's no such thing under the sun as a partial. It either depends on the key or it doesn't. But it can't depend on only part of the key because the entire key is one attribute. You see my point? So only when you have two or more attributes, second normal form becomes relevant. So if you know something is in first, then you don't have to worry about it in second. if you only have one attribute making up the primary key. Because you can't have a partial, it's impossible. Okay, and that's the point I'm trying to make. Okay, so we're going to move now on to third normal form. What's the definition? It says a table must be in second normal form and does not have any transitive. Another word for transitive is hidden. Doesn't have any hidden dependency. So the question then is, what is a hidden dependency or a transitive dependency? A hidden dependency is one where a non-key attribute is determined by another non-key attribute. Example, in the book, there's a table, and in there you have job class. There are other things in the table beside these, but job class is in there. And hourly wage. However, job class is not part of the key, and hourly wage is not a part of the key. These are two non-key attributes in the table. But the assumption here is that everybody with the same job class gets the same hourly wage. So if I know the job class, then I know what your hourly wage is. This would be an example of a transitive. Let me see which figure is this in the book for third normal form, so I could point you to it. Okay, turn to page 154. You turn to 154, you will see the transitive dependency. The primary key in this table is a composite primary key. It is made up of employee number and the project number. But you realize in the same table, the job class determines the charge per hour. So the job class and the charge per hour create what is known as a transitive or a hidden dependency. So a transitive dependency occurs between two non-key fields. When that happens, you actually have to pull the violators out of the table and put them in their own table. So again, the same thing here is true. If the transitive dependency exists, it must be removed. And it is removed by taking those fields out of that original table and putting them in their own table. So then this here would end up having a table of its own. Yes, question?
You said the table must be in second normal
form. It must be in second normal form. Providing it's already in first normal form.
So does that mean that third normal form has to have a composite
no.
primary?
Okay. No. You'll see most third normal form, as a matter of fact, you'll see most tables don't have a composite key. Most tables have a single key. The composite key usually arises from the many-to-many situation. Okay. But most tables are not a many-to-many. So what you'll find is that if you have a table that is first normal form and it's a single primary key, what you'll find in a number of cases is that if it satisfies first and you don't have to consider second because it's not a composite key, not all the time, but a lot of times you will realize that that table is also in third. But you always have to check each table to make sure it's in third. But a lot of times you'll realize, okay, this is already in third. I just have to confirm that.
That's where you kind of get lazy a little bit when you get third normal form, right?
Well, you don't want to get lazy because that hidden transitive would always kill you. You know, you got to be able to spot it. So you can't get lazy. Okay, so what we want to do now is, let me just summarize what I said for the past hour. you're going to be confronted with tables that are poorly designed. As a matter of fact, if this was a real job situation, it probably wouldn't even be a table. Somebody would give you something that looks like that in the book, right? A table that looks like that. So somebody probably got an Excel spreadsheet, they got a Word document, and they create a document that looks like that because it serves their purpose very well, right? They need to create a report that looks identical like that. And so they create the document, whether it's Word or Excel, to look like that. Makes sense. Now you come in. You're supposed to be a database expert. You took my class. I can't speak for the other classes. I could only speak for this. You took my class and they're hiring you. You're making the big bucks now. And they say, here are some documents that we need to reproduce. And we want you to create a database so that we could produce these types of documents. Now, if you don't know what you're doing, which means you didn't take my class, or you failed, got a terrible grade, then you would be tempted to go in SQL Server, for example, take what you see on the sheet of paper that they give you, look like that, and create a table that looks just like that or very similar to that. Then make sure when you do that, you tell them you never took my class. What you really want to do is, you really want to take that lousy table and go through the process of normalization. When you do that, you would end up with several tables that are linked together. From that database, these tables that are linked together, you could then reproduce or create any type of report. This one or any other one, because the information exists in the form it should exist, and you don't have any problems with the database. So let me summarize then. So the first thing is you got to be able to recognize when a table is in bad shape. How do you know it's in bad shape? It has, you tell me.
Huh?
It has repeating groups. Chapter 1, man. Chapter 1. Every time I ask you to give me problems with a table, go back to chapter 1. Uncontrolled data redundancy, which leads to three anomalies, insert, update, and delete, which eventually will lead to
inconsistent data,
because you're typing in the thing so many times, you're bound to make mistakes. That's the inconsistent data. That happens when the tables are poorly designed. So what are you going to do? You're going to take those poorly designed tables or reports and go to the first step, which is first normal form. So if there are repeating groups, you're going to remove the repeating groups. Now the table still have uncontrolled data redundancy. The table still has update, insert, and delete anomalies. The table probably still got the inconsistencies from all of the typos over the years. But once you do that, the table is in better shape. It's still in bad shape, but it is in better shape. So after you finish first normal form, you then move to second normal form. In second normal form, you don't need to waste your time looking at tables that are in first normal form and only have a single key attribute. Those tables will never violate second normal form, providing that they are in first normal form. Now, I know there are going to be students in here who are going to come back to me later and say, but you say if it only has one key attribute, you don't have to investigate it for second normal form. I never said that. I said providing it is in first normal form. So don't misquote me. Now, once it is in first normal form and it has a composite primary key, which means the primary key is made up of two or more attributes, you must investigate it for second normal form. And what you're looking for there is that every non-key attribute should be fully functionally dependent on the composite primary key. If there is a B, which means if there's a non-key attribute that could be determined by only part of the key, then you have a partial dependency and you are in violation of second normal form. Once you're in second normal form, the next thing you do is you move to third normal form. Third normal form say, you have to look for hidden or transitive dependencies. A transitive dependency is where you have a non-key attribute in the table that determines another non-key attribute. So two non-key attributes in the table got it going on, so to speak. How do you remove that violation? You pull them out and put them in their own table. What's left is in third normal form.
Now, would you, for like this job class example where the hourly wage is based off the job class, would you make the job class the primary key, or
yes,
would you make it like a job class ID?
Well, we're going to get to that later. We would start out by making job class the primary.
In the other table.
Yeah, in its own table, the primary key. But you know, we already said we don't like names as primary keys. And we're going to discuss some of these issues later. You're absolutely right. Eventually, when this is all said and done, it would be job code ID, job class, comma, hourly wage. Okay. Let's take a break here. What I want to do is, I want to maybe do a problem before I go any further in the chapter. Okay? So we're going to take a break.